Deb has joined us at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. See if we can help her in the proper tree selection for a little privacy screen. Good morning, Deborah. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your situation. You're looking for a privacy screen. How tall of a barrier do we need?
Well, my backyard backs up to an apartment community, and the wall is 8 foot, and that's not even tall enough. My landscaper suggested a sisal tree, and he said if I were to water it every day, it would grow very quickly and give me the privacy that I need.
Well, he's right in that it will grow, but I'll let these guys explain that. Long-term issue we have with sisus in Arizona.
Yeah, sisu trees are popular because they do achieve their landscape purpose very, very quickly. But you soon have a tiger by the tail. You have a tree that you probably won't be able to control. The rooting is the problem. It has a very, very aggressive rooting, and any hardscape that's anywhere close to them is going to be disturbed. If you have any irrigation, any drip irrigation, any lawn irrigation, it will invade that water area and create little pockets, little satellites of heavy root material that will be independent of the trunk of the tree. So they will grow forever, and they're very, very problematic. So I would think very cautiously about using a sisu tree. There are other vigorous trees that would be, that could accomplish the same purpose. If you wanted a tall tree to give you some good vertical height right away, maybe the willow acacia or the shoestring acacia would be good ones, and they're not quite as aggressive rooting. Depending on the height that you require, if you really do need something significantly above that 8 foot height real quick, citrus probably is not going to be a real good solution for you, because they're going to only probably ever get to maybe 15 or 20 feet of height at that very height, the highest maximum height. So maybe a couple of trees would be your way to go, but plant them tight, close together. Sarah has had a suggestion, too, that might be.
Well, the Texas ebony is a nice tree that can be grown into hedges also, but it's evergreen, so it's going to be a constant, blockage or barrier for you.
Yeah, be careful not to get a deciduous tree, because you got your screening until it drops its leaves in the winter, and then all of a sudden you see through. So be sure it's an evergreen, of course.
And my memory's, I'm having a hard time putting it all together, but I swear I heard somewhere on the radio something about a ghost gum, a eucalyptus that gets you can get it at 8 feet tall, and it'll be 30 feet tall in 5 years.
Yes, yeah. Along with the willow acacia and the shoestring acacia, that Eucalyptus papuana might be a good choice for you. Yeah, we have another customer of ours who put 5 eucalyptus, not ghost gums, but ones that are similar to those. I think it was a microtheca. And they put 5 of those together on about 10-foot centers. And they provide a pretty nice screening at about 20 feet of height. Because from where our customer views the trees, he can't even see the bottom 10 or 12. They're down slope. So you can't even see the bottom 10 or 15 feet of the trunk. But it's that canopy and that 15 feet and up that they wanted the screening for. So
yeah,
good call, Romy.
You would really need a substantial area for the roots to grow. So that's another thing to consider when you're planting some kind of a barrier like that, is make sure you have room for the roots.
So what I would tell you, Deborah, is write all those down. And we'll make sure you got all those names correctly. You can also listen back on the podcast at rosieonthehouse.com and write all those down. You're in Peoria. Elgin Tree Nursery is there off of 10 and about, I think it's 83rd Avenue. So walk in there with that list. Have them show you these trees. Decide which one is most aesthetically pleasing to you.
You mentioned earlier also the possibility of building a trellis. We have a couple of customers who've done just what you said. They brought in a welder who came in and custom built, not at a great deal of expense. You can use some pretty salvaged metal, even rebar, to build a framework that goes up above that 8 foot wall to a 20 foot height, say, with some, and then grow vines up. And it's provided, again, a really easy, simple solution and a lot less work than in terms of the rooting space. You don't need to be supporting a large tree root system. You can simply be watering those vines as you normally would. It does take us several years, like at some of the bus stops on our metro system here in town. You'll see those vines that are growing up those trellises that they built along those bus stops.
Give her the name of three evergreen vines.
Oh, Lady Banks Rose.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, well, I would start with that.
And cat claw's another. It's really aggressive rooting, but it's a super durable desert vine. Anything else you can think of? Bougainvillea is another one.
There you go. Okay, so there's three other good options.
We appreciate the call. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We are going to talk about pruning deciduous trees, but real quick, we're going to sneak Scott into the program. We were talking Aleppo pines earlier, and he's got a question on his. Welcome, Scott.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have about a 60-foot Aleppo pine, about a 3-foot base, and about 5 feet up, there's a branch that has grown out about, I'm going to say, 40 feet off the side. The rest of the tree goes up about 60 feet, and this thing is a very big branch. And I'm wondering if I would cut that off, if the tree would live. It starts at about 5 feet from the bottom, and then the branch branches off, and it hangs way out. And I just think it's throwing the tree off of balance or something, and it's all overhanging my power line coming into my house.
Mm, okay. Well, you want to keep clearance to your power lines for sure, but what you want to look at is the overall canopy, and, you know, will that bring that out of balance? The other thing we think about when we cut big limbs is trees kind of compartmentalize. They cover over their wounds, and the bigger the wound, the longer it takes to really recover from that. Pines are pretty susceptible to sooty canker, and so that's just an avenue for that to get into the tree. But I think that they just have that growth habit. You know, that's the natural growth habit of an Aleppo pine, is to be decurrent.
Yeah, and those...
That's a polite word for it.
Yeah.
Every Aleppo pine over 10 years old is living a bad hair day.
Yeah, they're big litter producers too, but that large of a pruning cut on a mature tree like that is an entry point for decay fungi to get into that large wound. It would have been nice to have taken that branch out, you know, years and years ago when it was smaller, because then the tree, as Sarah said, could compartmentalize that injury more easily. And so to open that tree to a large pruning wound like that would be pretty hard for the tree to recover from. The other thought would be to avoid those large pruning cuts. What we'll often do is take that 40-foot branch and make some significant reduction cuts from the from the tip of the branch, cutting back to an appropriate lateral branch, and really thin it out heavily. That would be better than to be having to go back and make a drastic large diameter pruning cut of 12, 15, 18 inches in diameter. That's pretty hard on trees to sustain that kind of a wound this late in the game.
We appreciate the call. You can get a hold of John or Sarah, have somebody come out and look at it and see if this is something we can properly do without damaging the tree. Yeah. Saveatree.com, and that's SAVATREE.com.
Yep, you got it.
All right, let's get into pruning deciduous trees. We've got my ash trees, my pecan trees. I've no leaves left. It's time to start whacking away.
Yeah, you know, we were discussing pruning earlier today and just how important it is to be aware of the species. Of course, the deciduous trees get pruned in the winter, and that's going to be a little bit different in Flagstaff than it is here in Phoenix. You know, what you normally do is for the ideal time to prune is count about 4 to 6 weeks back from the very last average day of frost, you know, your freezing temperature. So in Flagstaff, that might be, you know, somewhere in the middle of March to early April would be an ideal time to be doing that kind of winter pruning before your tree is going to be budding in the spring. And the here in Phoenix, there's already trees budding.
Yeah, the ash, I was just at a house the other day, and the ash have already bloomed, and they're leafing out. And the flower is so insignificant on an ash, you can't even really see it.
But we
the bees sure can. on the north side where we've got a row of ash in the springtime, it's you can just hear it buzzing for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that's our cue to spray mesquite trees for pods too, is when you hear that buzz.
Well, yeah, we don't really have a dormancy to speak of sometimes, like this winter, very, very little frost. So what do we do? I mean, if some of our shrubs that would normally freeze back, we usually wait until they freeze back and then we prune them later in the spring. But what if you don't get a freeze and a shrub that would normally freeze back to the ground that grows maybe 3 or 4 feet during a regular season, it's at 4 feet right now and it hasn't frozen back. Is there a chance that it will overwinter and get all the way through a winter season without a freeze? Well, yes. And, you know, it's to your advantage to maybe keep that tree in the landscape, maybe let it grow to 6 or 7 feet this year. And why would you want to do that? Because next year, if it does freeze back, they freeze from the outside in. So it might only ever freeze back to a 4 foot height. So you'll be able to keep and preserve that tree in the landscape longer. So some of you have some of your Thevesia pruviana or your Tacoma stands, especially the Tacomas, that if they survive a winter without freezing back, they freeze back very, very hard, so you can prune them back quite pretty close to the ground. But if you get through a nice winter season like ours that's been mild, there's no reason you can't let that grow a couple of 2 or 3 seasons. We have some that are you know, 10 and 12 feet tall right now. And I never have any risk. I never have any fear that I'm going to lose those trees entirely. They'll freeze back on a really hard freeze, but once they're mature and established in the landscape, they're going to be able to bounce back, and that's the key. So I would suggest if you haven't pruned some of those more frost-sensitive trees, let them grow during this time. Don't be cutting them back unnecessarily, especially not this early in the season. I had a young man texted me a picture earlier this week and said, "Hey, dude, did I over prune my citrus tree?" And I had to kind of catch my breath because one, it's too early in the season to be pruning your frost sensitive trees like citrus, your ficus, and others. They need to keep their winter coat another month or so because there is a risk of a late frost.
Yeah, so, and also exposing them to sunburn, you know.
Yeah, I just was really concerned because he took off quite a few limbs. So I had to very diplomatically say, "Well, maybe you were a little."
You could have been worse.
You were a little aggressive. Nice. A little aggressive because I'm hoping that there will be some time for that citrus to recover. Hopefully, we won't get a late frost, and he'll be home free because the main thing is you want to prune as soon after the frost as you can because you want to give the tree time to recover. And put on some new foliage before the sun comes.